All this month, we've been hearing about the lives of teenage girls from around the world. Some of them say they dream of coming to the United States where they believe their lives would be better. Our next story is about a girl who was forced to come here, and like a lot of migrants, her journey didn't end once she crossed the border. NPR's Jasmine Garst reports.
The week she turned 15, Rosy got an amazing birthday present. She was in a government shelter in New York, and then her dad walked in. It was the first time she'd seen him in almost 4 years.
Ay, Dios. La verdad que de llanto.
Sí, me sentí, pero...
Oh, my God. To be honest, we were crying. She was wearing jeans, tennis shoes, this little collared blouse.
And I felt so happy. I didn't even want a party. I didn't want anything. To just see him there. And he brought me a big cake as a present. It was vanilla.
Until her dad showed up, she'd been thinking she should just go home to Guatemala and face the nightmare she'd run away from. Rosy still has trouble talking about it. She calls it lo que pasó, or the thing that happened. Lo que pasó was that when her dad first got to the U.S., he had several roommates. One of them saw pictures of Rosy and became obsessed. He's her nightmare, and the reason we aren't using Rosy's full name or the names of anyone in her family. They're still worried about this man who once upon a time went back to Guatemala and started tracking Rosy down. She was 13. He was 31. He wanted to marry her. When Rosy's dad found out, he was furious.
If you don't want to have a problem, stay away from my home, I told him. Well, you know what he told me? You are there, and I am here. Just like that. The thing is, in our country, everything gets fixed with money.
And this guy had American money. The dad thinks Rosy's mom was seduced by this. She forced Rosy to marry the guy.
I wanted to be dead rather than live through that. I tried killing myself with a knife, but an aunt found me and told me, don't do it. It's going to be okay.
It wasn't. Now that he had his child bride, Rosy's husband decided to head back to the U.S. with her. They got caught at the U.S.-Mexico border. This is what most migrants fear, but for Rosy, it meant getting away from her husband. He made a run for it. She never saw him again. Rosy's ordeal was over, but far from finished. She ended up in a government shelter for unaccompanied children in California, then Texas, then New York, where her dad was finally able to come get her. When she was released, he took her home to Pennsylvania. Rosy and her dad share a small apartment with another migrant. It's a crisp autumn day, and outside the trees are shivering. Inside, it's turned into a sauna from all the cooking. Rosy makes a mean pollo sudado, chicken stew with rice, salad, and steamed plantains with sugar. She tells me in the months after being released to her father, she barely ate.
Solo llorando pasaba. Me sentía bien deprimida.
All I did was cry. I felt really depressed. I didn't want to speak to men. I hated them. I asked myself, why is this happening to me?
Like so many kids who come to the U.S. as migrants, Rosy felt lost. Her lawyer referred her to a woman named Kathy Tillman.
You know, 5 years ago, we maybe had 10% of our referrals were specifically of youth, and now it's probably 60%.
Tillman is the executive director of La Puerta Abierta, an organization that works to give migrants improved access to mental health care. Rosy was able to get a green card and the marriage annulled. Her father doesn't have papers. Tillman says when she first met Rosy, she was lucky to get a few words out of her. Rosy started attending a youth group.
She was pretty shut down, very, very quiet. But one of the things that helped her connect was that she loves bachata. And she decided one day after a group to turn on some music, and she started dancing and showing there were a couple of other girls that she had become somewhat friendly with, and they started doing it, and we were all laughing.
Maybe it was the melancholy Caribbean guitar plucks or being around people who cared about her, but something gave. Rosy was ready to talk about the thing that happened in Guatemala.
Casi no. No podía hablar porque me costaba.
The first time I couldn't talk. It was hard. I just cried and cried with my therapist. And she told me to get it all out, what I had inside of me.
The next day we go check out clothing at H&M. She loves this store and swings by whenever she has some extra cash. She picks out a lot of lacy, girly blouses and wrinkles her nose at the skull print sweatshirt I've grabbed. It's been almost 4 years since Rosy started going to therapy. She tells me about her boyfriend and how she doesn't want kids until she has a nursing career. I ask her if she's forgiven her mother for selling her out. Rosy pauses and says, "Well, you only get one mother. They aren't on speaking terms." But she and her dad adore each other.
Imagine, when she was in Texas, I could only speak to her for 15 minutes every 8 days. 15 minutes. I'd tell her, "How are you, my daughter? How are you, my beautiful girl?" And she would say, "Don't be sad, Papa. I'm going to be okay." And I'd say, "Okay, I'm here waiting for you. I'm fighting for you."
Kathy Tillman says it's not your run-of-the-mill happy ending, but it's close.
There isn't necessarily closure. There's peace. There's reconciliation. There's acceptance. But closure, how do you close a wound that is, 100 miles wide? Sometimes the wound stays open and it scabs over and you just have to take care of it and then go on with your life.
Outside the store, Rosy and I part ways. She told her dad she'd be home a while ago, and he gets worried. Jasmine Garst, NPR News.
We'd like to hear your stories about life at 15. You can share them on Twitter at #15girls.